Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." Now there you see two verses of Scripture that deal with the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And then in verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Both of those. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Now, when you're studying the fear of the Lord, it's important for you to understand that the fear of the Lord is exactly that. It is fear. I mean, when you were a young child and you were growing up and you realized that fire is hot, there was a fear of being too close to it. In other words, the heat from it was pleasant and the flame was interesting to look at, and you liked the taste of the marshmallows or s'mores that came as a result of being around the fire, and you loved the camp food and camp cooking and things if you ever went camping by a fire. All those kinds of things had sort of an attraction to them, but there was a fear of being too close to the fire and getting burned. And that was a kind of a fear that was there for your protection. You know, there was a fear of being in the dark. I mean, now sometimes it went too far, you know, where you're just afraid to even sleep in your room by yourself. But I mean, the fear of being alone in an area where you might be subjected to danger caused you to stay close to your family. And so the fear that God put in you that caused a certain trembling and a certain anxiety that it was associated with it was a fear that was put there for your protection. It was a fear that was put there to guide you. And God intends for that same kind of fear to be directed toward him, called the fear of the Lord. And that's because he's bigger than you are. He's smarter than you are. And he's in more places than you can be. And when you fear him, Paul said, it causes trembling. Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to do and to good and to will of his good pleasure. So don't mistake this for just some sort of a godly reverence. It's more than that. It is a guiding principle of life. And we're going to look at the fear of the Lord today and notice just from the text, first of all, in verse 26, that the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Now, if you fear God, then you will not fear men. And if you fear men, you will not fear God. It's a very simple equation. Today, people we're equipped with fear in our lives, but people are afraid of men and what they think. Some people are afraid of the government and the decisions the government will make that might harm them. Some people are in school and they're literally afraid of the professor in the sense that they don't want to be openly criticized or for anything that they may do or say that displeases the professor. They're scared to say anything that might go contrary to what they're being taught in the classroom. Some people fear their parents and they want to please them excessively as a result of that, and they're very afraid of any criticism that might come. And those are all the fear of men. Some of that stuff is even put into you, like if you're in the military, to fear the commanding officer. And to a point, it is an appropriate kind of fear. But I'll tell you something. Above all things, you should fear the Lord. And if you fear God, you will not fear men. Listen, Paul didn't fear men. And so when he had to get in the face of somebody that was running contrary to God, he could do it, and it didn't make any difference who it was. Peter was a big dog with the Jews, and so was James. But Peter got out of line and began to eat with Gentiles in Galatians chapter 2 when Jews weren't looking. And then when the Jews came to check him out, well, he pretended that he was having nothing to do with the Gentiles. And I mean, Paul got right in his face and got on him about it. And that's because Paul didn't fear him. He feared God. Now, when you don't fear men, there is absolutely nothing that men can do to you. Really. I mean, you say, well, they can kill you. They can beat you up. Yeah, they can do those things. They can hurt the body. But what is that to a Christian? That is the release from this earthly tabernacle that sends you straight into heaven. Listen, when men see that you are fearless, that does two things. Number one, it puts God in control of the situation. And number two, it puts them at a great disadvantage. Gideon had the fear of God. And that's why he wasn't afraid, after having the instruction given to him directly by God, to go into a battle where he was so grossly outnumbered that it was obvious there was no way they could win. But he did win. 300 against 135,000. He won. David went up against Goliath unprotected. Unprotected, unshielded, but he went in the fear of God. And Goliath didn't have fear of God. Goliath simply had his gods, and he had his armor and his protection, and he died at the hand of David, who hit him in the head with a rock and then cut his head off. Lot had a fear of God, and when the angels came in and said, we're going to destroy this place, he knew that God was going to do that. And so he had the strong confidence to go to the rest of his family and say, get out or you're going to burn. They thought he was mocking. He got out and they burned. He got out with two daughters. His wife didn't follow the command of God, turned and looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. In Psalm 56, you can see the confidence that goes with a man that has the fear of God. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I'm not going to be afraid of the situation. Psalm 56:11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. I'm not even going to let it bother me. I'm not going to go into that situation afraid. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And if you want to have confidence and boldness in presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to lost souls, if you want to have strong confidence that you're doing the right thing according to God's will, then you need to fear God. Because listen, God is going to judge you, and he will rip off rewards that you're entitled to as a Christian if you don't serve him. He will reward you if you do. If you're lost, he can make the judgment that you'll spend eternity in hell. And if you're saved, he can make the judgment that you will enjoy eternal life forever. He's already made that judgment in Jesus Christ. There's nothing better for confidence than to fear God and fear God alone. I remember when I was training for the ministry, the person that trained me was a very strong figure, a very strong character. And unbeknownst to me, I mean, I didn't think about it. I didn't consider it. I didn't want to do anything that I thought might be out of line with what I was being trained to do. I didn't want a bad report, you see. And you know what that amounted to in time? It amounted to fear. And so I would be concerned in trying to discern the Lord's will through prayer, what he or others there might be thinking about what we were being led to do. And when you operate in life with that kind of concern, I'm telling you, it is bondage. And you're not going to have confidence until you break free from that and fear God and nobody else and nothing else. All right, the fear of the Lord is not only strong confidence, but it's the fountain of life. The Bible says in verse 27 of Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Well, in the fear of the Lord, you're going to find Jesus Christ. Cornelius is a great example in Acts chapter 10. He was a man that feared God with all of his house. Now, a man that really and truly fears God is going to believe what God says. And when he feared God and he did all that he knew to do, He was a devout man. He gave alms. He prayed. He knew. He did all that he knew to do. God recognized that and sent Peter to show him Jesus Christ. And, of course, because Cornelius feared God, he received Jesus Christ right away. And so did many of the other members of his household. And they got saved. And you know what? By getting saved, he had eternal life, a fountain of life. Jesus Christ described the coming presence of the Holy Spirit in a man who would trust him as his Savior as this. John chapter 7. He said, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That's a fountain of life. A fountain, literally, of life. And how is it? How do you get it? By fear of God. By the fear of God. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in the Catholic religion, and I believed that what I had was a fear of God, because I always felt guilty for any bad thing that I ever did. It wasn't a fear of God. I didn't realize it, but it was a fear of men. That's right. That's the way they control you in religion, is to cause you to fear the man that's in charge of the religion, that somehow he could implant in your mind that through superstitious thoughts and through bewitching you, literally, that God was going to somehow punish you if you got out of line with him. Now, I realize that God can do that, but he's not a God that is looking for the first opportunity to beat you down when you get out of line. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And see, I didn't realize it, but I was in a bondage to a religion and under the control of men, the fear of man. And I didn't want to be like that anymore. And when I found out that the fear of God is what is a fountain of life, then I found Jesus Christ. All right, now, the fear of the Lord, strong confidence, fountain of life. What else? What else? The fear of the Lord will lengthen your days. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. It'll lengthen your days. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. This thing, this fear of the Lord, one of the greatest doctrines in the Bible. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Well, you get eternal life through the fear of the Lord when you get the fountain of life. The lengthening of days is just simply achieving the long life that God intended for you to have down here. And in the fear of the Lord, you're going to find the length of days. Because the fear of the Lord will keep you from the dissipated life of sin. Listen, here's something that God said. He said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." All right? Now you look at that situation, you go, now wait a minute, am I going to believe that? If a man that fears God would. He wouldn't argue with God and say, well, a man wrote that book and maybe he got it down wrong and who was the one that decided to put that book in there anyway? He wouldn't ask questions like that. He'd look at that and say, that's got to be God's words, and I'm going to fear him, and he wouldn't sow to the flesh. He wouldn't sow to the flesh. Many a Christian today has been continuing to smoke after they got saved, thinking somehow or another they're going to get by because God hasn't done some horrible, terrible thing to him for smoking. But you know what they're doing? They're sowing to the flesh. And you know what they're going to reap? Corruption. That's right. For one thing, it's a terrible testimony. Can you imagine coming up with all that nicotine on your breath and trying to give a bold witness to somebody about why they need to trust Jesus Christ so that Jesus Christ can take away their sins? That's a pretty powerless testimony, because they're going to look at you and say, well, if he's that powerful, how come you're still hooked on cigarettes? And so that's why a lot of people who are don't say a lot to other people about Jesus Christ. They'll say a little, but they feel very convicted about it when they're trying to speak about it. About the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, the point is that in the fear of God, a person would trust God to give him the grace that is needed to get by the habit rather than just continuing to appease the lust of the flesh, and they're going to prolong their days. Many a man and many a woman has cut their days short by 10, 15, 20 years because they couldn't kick the habit. It'll lengthen your days. It'll keep you from the dissipated life of sin. All right, now the fear of the Lord will do something else for you in Proverbs 1:7. It'll give you knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, if it's the beginning of knowledge, what are the students doing in public school today? if a child in public school today has Christian parents and goes to a good church and spends time reading the Bible, then you know something? That fear of God is going to produce in them knowledge. But the Bible says fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you take a child that's in public school, that has no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, no fear of God, no exposure to the Bible, no Christian home, all that they're learning will turn to vanity before they die. You know why? Because what they'll know that has been given to them by natural men. And look, you can make a good living with an education. You make a really good living with an education if you're smart and if you apply yourself. And you'll be very successful and you'll be very happy that the education you've acquired and the knowledge you've acquired has benefited you and your family greatly. And when you die, then what? If you didn't know anything about hell and you find out now suddenly that it's real, then your knowledge didn't help you there. And if you find out suddenly there's a heaven and that you could have had that by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, that knowledge didn't do you any good there. And suddenly you find out that all the knowledge that you had that was used to help you live a healthier life and a fuller life because of all the money that you made and all the good things that you were able to do for others with your knowledge turned out to be a big fat zero in eternity because you didn't fear God. And then you find out that all you knew was the knowledge of the world and this world passeth away. And one of these days he's going to refashion this world, then everything you knew is going to be different than the way you know it now. If you want to know anything worth knowing, fear God. That's right. Start with the fear of God. Start with the fear of the Lord. And then you're going to know some things of great value. Now, let me show you how somebody that fears God would know some things the world never knew by the world's knowledge. All right, for instance, the world says and I'm talking about years ago, the world said that the earth was flat. They didn't know exactly whether it was a pancake or some kind of a flat square, but they believed it up until the 1400s that the world was flat. And then at the sailing of Christopher Columbus, of course, they determined then that the earth was round. Well, I'm going to tell you something. A man that feared God and believed God's words because of his fear would have known 1422 years before Christopher Columbus sailed to America that the earth was actually round. He would have known that. Why? Because Isaiah chapter 40 tells you that it's a circle, and Luke chapter 17 describes things that happen simultaneously on the earth, both in the daytime and in the nighttime. And the only way that you could have things happening both in the daytime and in the nighttime on a round earth is if it is a sphere. And somebody who would have believed what Luke wrote in 70 AD would have known that the earth was a sphere 1422 years before Christopher Columbus ever sailed. Doctors believed that the proper way to prepare for surgery was to wash their hands, and they used to wash them in a bowl. Then they'd perform the surgery and wash their hands again, and guess what they would do? They would communicate the disease they were dealing with to the next patient. And so they decided the best way to wash their hands was under running water. You know where they learned that? From the Bible. From the Bible. The Bible would have given doctors medical information about dealing with people that have issues of blood long before they ever knew how to clean themselves properly, if they simply would have believed what was written there in the book of Leviticus 1,450 years before Jesus Christ came. And about, I don't remember when they started washing their hands under running water. Maybe 3,000 years before they did that. And those are just some silly examples. There are many examples of that. Real knowledge. The knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of the things. Listen, you know something? If you talk to a natural scientist and talk to him about the universe, how many natural scientists that don't believe the Bible and don't fear God do you believe would know that there is a great body of water that surrounds this universe? A man that fears God knows it. He knows it because he sees it in Genesis chapter 1. He sees it in Psalm 148. And therefore, he can explain where a natural scientist can, how the laws of thermodynamics can work in this universe because this universe is closed. And many believe that it's infinite. Quite remarkable. A man that fears God knows better science than a man who doesn't. And a man that fears God knows things about the afterlife that a man who doesn't fear God has no knowledge about whatsoever. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. As a matter of fact, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Job 28:28. The Bible says in Job 28:28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Wisdom. Now again, the world has its kind of wisdom, and there's all kinds of things you can do with the wisdom of the world. But the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, that is wisdom. So a man that has earthly wisdom without the fear of the Lord, again, comes up dry when he passes through this life, because all he's ever been able to do is deal with the things that concern his life while he's living and breathing. But a man who has the fear of the Lord has wisdom. Wisdom to recognize that he needs to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. Wisdom to recognize that he needs to depart from evil. Listen, wisdom from the fear of God will do more to keep you in line with God than anything else you can think of. A man that fears God will find out what God thinks about a thing before he forms his opinion or makes his own decisions. And when he knows what God thinks and follows that, then he's got understanding. He's a wise man. Now, there are professors who want you to fear their scholarship. I mean, they put big fancy letters after the names, and they wear great big fancy robes at the graduations, and they want you to be in awe of the fact that they are scholars and that they've learned a great deal. But the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Listen, there's nobody in this universe that has the wisdom of God. Nobody. They can't even touch it. Job was a very smart man. God asked him a couple or three chapters worth of questions. Job couldn't answer one of them. And even today, with all the scientific knowledge, there are only a handful of them that can be answered by the men of this earth. There are things in there that men can't answer. But I know a man who can, God Almighty, Jesus Christ. They can answer that. And when you fear God, he will give you the wisdom to direct your life in such a way that what you do will count, not only here, but in eternity. I've watched that. I've watched men that fear God over the years start making decisions and expounding wisdom that is just, it's beyond comprehension, except that you have to say it came from the supernatural. It came from God. A man that has the fear of the Lord in his wisdom will depart from evil because he understands the consequences of what he's doing. Wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. Knowledge comes from the fear of the Lord. The length of days comes from the fear of the Lord. Salvation comes from the fear of the Lord. Strong confidence comes from the fear of the Lord. You see how important it is? And these kids that run around with t-shirts saying, no fear. Well, if you're not going to fear God, you'll be ensnared to men. And you'll be ensnared to an eternity separated from God in a fiery flame. What a terrible, tragic ending to your life. The fear of the Lord will not only do these things for you, it'll cause you to hate evil. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So the fear of the Lord will cause you to hate the things that God hates. There are a lot of things that appeal to the lust of the flesh. And the flesh wants those things and sees absolutely nothing wrong with them at all, but the fear of the Lord causes you to hate those things so that you don't get caught up in them. You end up hating the things that God hates. And you know what's wrong with the church today? The church has less fear of God than it used to have, and thus it has more worldliness today. Really and truly, the church, in order to draw a crowd, churches have built up all kinds of worldliness in order to draw a crowd. Rock and roll bands, light shows, videos, you know, the video projection screens, shorter dresses, lower tops, fancier dress, fancier automobiles, fancier structures. And of course, churches have always been notorious for fancy structures. Just go to Europe and look at all the cathedrals. Worldliness, psychology, dressed in the garb of Bible teaching. Share groups, little small groups where, you know, you tell all like they do in AA. They brought all that into the church. All of it's from the world. And when you do that, the fruit that's going to be born of those movements toward the world are going to be terrible in the end. They're going to be terrible. The church, if it had maintained its fear of God and separation from the world, would continue to hate evil these days, but they've actually brought evil into the church just because that's what people who are going to church want these days, and they're willing to give that to them in order to draw the crowd. It's a shame, because it's going to lead to a dead end. Wisdom of God and the fear of God would have told people to stay away from that stuff and to continue to hate evil, hate pride, hate arrogancy, and hate the evil way and the froward mouth, just like God does. You say, well, you can't make a lot of money and draw a big crowd with that. No, but you'll please God with it. And the people you do draw will really get saved. And the ones that get saved will do something for Jesus Christ. And they'll be fed the words of God and make a good score at the judgment seat of Christ. You don't hear much talk about that in a modern church. The fear of the Lord is a very beneficial thing. It'll cause you to hate evil. It'll give you wisdom, give you real knowledge, of the things that are important. Length of days, fountain of life, and strong confidence. How could you beat it? You can't beat it. You cannot beat it. Listen, if you're young today, or you've got young people today, if you could instill in yourself or in the children that are with you a fear of God, they'll be good to go till they die. What usually happens is they get up in their teen years or up into their 20s and start doing things that they know are wrong because they don't fear the consequences and they don't fear God. And it's not until they get up in their 30s and 40s till they realize the consequences of their sins and the things that they're now ashamed of. And suddenly they learn a great fear of God. And it's amazing how wise they become later in life. There's no reason for a man to have to stray into that stuff in order to learn that it was the wrong thing to do. The fear of the Lord would have kept him from it the whole way through. My prayer is for you that you'll walk in the fear of the Lord and enjoy the confidence and the eternal life and the length of days and the knowledge and wisdom and the hatred for evil that comes with it. My prayer is if you've turned away from God and have quit fearing Him, that God will instill that fear in you right now. Right now. So that you can recognize, like the truth is, as much as He is a loving Father, He could also knock you down immediately. And you don't want to be on your back in a hospital room looking up going, I wonder why God did this to me. And if I hadn't done that, I don't suppose I'd be in this shape today. Don't wait till you get there. Many have, and that's a wrong time to try to get right with God. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. That's the message for today.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.